Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from May 4th, 2025, the second Sunday of Easter. The sermon will be delivered by the Reverend Patricia Berger. Congregation may rise in body or spirit for the call to worship. Because we love our Lord Jesus Christ, because we love our Lord Jesus Christ, next is the hymn, Live into Hope. Gracious God, Give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts, that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. Since we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth, make us hunger for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life, through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. A reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for a letter to the synagogue at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city. You will be told what you are to do." The word of the Lord. Next is the hymn, "Come Christians, Join to Sing." Gospel according to John. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord."
When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you'll stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The 21st chapter of the Gospel according to John is something of a puzzlement. Last week, we read the end of the 20th chapter, and it sounded as if that were the end of that gospel. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. All tidied up, taken care of. And then we come to today's reading. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. We're right back into that story again. Over the years, most commentators have come to agree that the 21st chapter of John is a later addition to this gospel, maybe later by many years, and that it was likely written by someone other than the writer of the rest of the book. Perhaps the community for which the gospel was written had some questions yet, and this one took the role of John and set himself to the task. Things had come to a conclusion, maybe not reassuringly enough, about the love that God and Jesus had for all the people. Clearly, someone thought, one more chapter would be helpful, would reinforce what they'd been learning. So, the disciples went fishing. All night long they fished and they caught nothing, not one fish. Just at daylight, Jesus stood on the shore. Of course, the disciples didn't recognize him at first. He said to them, "You have no fish, have you?" Well, as a matter of fact, he was correct. They had no fish. So Jesus said, "Put your net out on the other side of the boat," which they did, and right away they had more fish than they could load into the boat, 153 fish. I've been fishing twice in my life. I know that 153 is a large number of fish. Do you remember the story about the time that Jesus went to a wedding and those who were preparing it hadn't actually planned well enough, and they ran out of wine. And they said to Jesus, turn this water here. They had big jugs of water. Turn this into wine, which he did, and apparently it was very fine wine. Well, now, and by the way, it was more wine than all those people there could have consumed in a week. That was a lot of wine. So we have here a whole bunch of fish. We don't know the significance. Nobody has ever been able to figure out why 153 fish. One suggestion is that that's the number of all of the kinds of fish that there were that they knew about in that time. So that's a possibility. Another is that there were 153 nations, and those fish represented the nations, that they were trying to come up with some way of determining how to show people that everyone was included in Jesus' love and God's love. Those are possibilities. We don't know. Maybe one of these days. That'll be a good question we could ask one of these days. What we do know is that's a whole bunch of fish. For what purpose? Caroline Lewis, in her commentary, wrote, 153 fish? That's a crazy amount. And why? Because that is how much God loves us. A crazy amount. The whole Gospel of John is about abundant grace. Grace upon grace in John 1:16. But after that prologue, no more mention of grace. This fourth resurrection appearance is to reveal that grace upon grace is true. Likely, all of those fish weren't the same variety of fish, and that too reinforced for the people another idea about who this God was. That grace upon grace from their God was for everyone. Yes, it would be for the disciples and for those who faithfully followed Jesus, and it would be for everyone else too. Their God loved everyone and wanted everyone to know that. Another place that we're allowed to see the result of God's abundant love and grace for everyone is in our story today that Gina read for us from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. The piece of the story that we got to hear tells of Saul's conversion experience. Later, Saul would become Paul. Here he was still Saul, and still on the road to find followers of Jesus to bring back to Jerusalem for punishment. Instead, he saw a light from heaven. He fell to the ground, and he heard Jesus calling to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul asked who it was that was calling to him. Jesus told him he was Jesus, and Saul should go into the city where he would be told what to do. The men who were with him could hear the voice, but they couldn't see anyone. When Saul got up, he could see nothing. For 3 days, he saw nothing, ate nothing, drank nothing. Then Jesus spoke to Ananias, who laid his hands on Saul and restored Saul's vision, and then told him as Jesus had said. Jesus had chosen him, had chosen Saul, to take the good news to the Gentiles and the kings and all the people of Israel. Saul stayed for several days with the disciples. Immediately he began to tell about Jesus, saying, he is the Son of God. Saul, as Paul, would be, one commentator wrote, a leading actor in the apostolic mission to the ends of the then known earth. This is where the disciples, too, would spread the good news of God's love and abundant grace to the ends of the then known earth. God's grace cannot be limited. God's promise then for Peter and Paul and all who believed, and God's promise now for each of us and for all who believe and for everyone, is grace beyond what we can possibly imagine. There was an abundance of fish on that day. There was an abundance of wine on another day. And each one of us has more stories than we have time to share with each other, or that we could even remember all at one point. Stories that we could spread to the ends of our now known earth. This writer in John didn't have enough time either. The ending of chapter 21 would sound vaguely familiar to us because it sounds quite a lot like the end of chapter 20. It reads, "But there are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Remember this on days that are difficult. On days when you wonder if God's grace is for us. Caroline Lewis finished her commentary this way: "This is the resurrection story that we need, desperately, all of us, that we will indeed experience the truth of the resurrection beyond the empty tomb, that Jesus will always show up on the shore, will invite us to share a meal once again, because abundance really means abundance when it comes to God. Why? Because it seems that God truly does love the world, and it will ever be so. Let us pray. Gracious God, we're grateful for your love. Help us to remember it every minute of every day and to share it when we have those opportunities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Next is the hymn, "Open My Eyes That I May See."
Thank you.
next is the hymn, "Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ."
Held by holy hands with a love that will not let us go.